You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News. Following the Smithers Town Council meeting this week, it is unlikely raised bike lanes on 3rd Avenue will be a reality anytime soon. Although an online petition headed up by Alan Kindrat of the 3rd Avenue Bike Lane Initiative has received hundreds of signatures calling on the town of Smithers to investigate the potential of ripping up on-street parking along 3rd Avenue and replacing it with protected raised bike lanes from Queen Street to King Street, council again voted not to follow through and move on with other priorities. Several businesses along 3rd Avenue opposed the idea, citing it would only worsen the traffic congestion on the busy road, and offered alternative ideas for the east-west cycling corridor. Smithers resident Theo Banstra also raised questions about the plan and urged council to vote against a motion to conduct a study about the merits of having 3rd Avenue raised bike lanes. Here is what he told council.
Respond to the 3rd Avenue Bike Lane delegation and address some of the information I believe is misleading or incomplete. The delegation cited a statistic claiming raised bike lanes reduce collisions by 90%. While this may be true in ideal uninterrupted conditions, as the rosy photo depicts, it does not reflect the reality here. Between King and Queen, there are over 20 breaks for streets, back alleys, parking lots, and other access points. These constant interruptions would create more conflict, not less, and give cyclists a false sense of safety in one of the busiest sections of downtown. Rather than improving safety, it could increase risk. The plan's stated goal to, quote, alleviate congestion, end quote, is essentially a plan to divert traffic. I would note, congestion is a negative word that describes why 3rd Avenue is so vibrant and active. Those vehicles are not just traffic. They are parents with children, seniors, contractors, and others who need to be there. This traffic is essential to downtown's vibrancy and the businesses that depend on it. Discouraging them will have economic consequences. There are better alternatives. 2nd Avenue is better suited for an east-west bike corridor, boasting access to SSS, Dogwood Park, the college, Alpine Estates, seniors housing, businesses like Bugwood Bean and McBike, as well as a controlled crossing at King Street, which would draw cycling traffic away from rather than toward the already congested 3rd and King Street intersection. The claim that a short two-block section will transform cycling habits is unrealistic. The rest of 3rd Avenue would remain unchanged, and cyclists would likely continue their casual meandering routes since Smithers is not difficult to navigate on bike. The presentation's petition and support letters are based on a one-sided narrative. Many sign to be agreeable, and most supporting businesses are not located on 3rd Avenue and would not feel the direct impacts. Financially, the cost of this project would far outweigh the returned $20,000 grant mentioned. Installing this lane would require tearing up sidewalks, streets, curb, and services in good condition, sending hundreds of tons of asphalt and concrete to the landfill. Taxpayers would bear a significant cost, either directly or through a diverted resource funds from the Resource Benefit Alliance. Regrettably, this all started with an ATP that named and claimed 3rd Avenue as a foregone conclusion, creating tunnel vision for all future participants that 3rd is the only way forward. Case in point, the delegation is named the 3rd Avenue Bike Lane Initiative. However, even their opening remarks highlight the primary goal is simply a protected east-west bike connection through the heart of downtown. Finally, this matter has already been reviewed and voted down by council, I strongly urge a motion amending the active transportation plan to exclude Third Avenue between King and Queen. This will protect access to vital downtown services, medical offices, the post office, retailers, the brewery, while allowing us to pursue bike infrastructure that is safer, more practical, and more widely supported. Thank you, and thank you for letting me.
Several other businesses along Third Avenue sent letters of opposition to the idea, but outlined alternative routes, including Second Avenue, to be the bike corridor through the downtown core. But for now, plans for raised bike lanes in Smithers are on hold. Following the council meeting, I had a chance to speak with Alan Kindrad of the Third Avenue Bike Lane Initiative about where it goes from here.
My name's Alan Kindrat. I'm a transportation engineer. I live in Smithers. I was born and raised here. I'm also an advocate for active transportation. I have a young family, and I travel the streets with my kids and see the shortcomings in our infrastructure when it comes to active transportation.
Alan, today you gave a delegation to council about the Third Avenue bike lane, the bike lanes that would be protected, and it would eliminate some parking and try to alleviate some congestion, as you proposed in your delegation. Tell me about the situation and what you're getting back from council right now.
Yeah, well, the project comes from the town's active transportation network plan. It's their number one big move, and that is to put protected bike lanes on Third Avenue between King and Queen, which is the downtown core that is highly congested with vehicles. And so that project would create safe, accessible, protected bike lanes for all ages and abilities to pass through the downtown. And council earlier this year was... Well, they voted against the project and effectively ended it. And they had the study they were going to do was funded through grants, and they subsequently returned the grant funding. And so when a friend and I saw this, we were pretty disappointed, and we decided to try and revive the project through some grassroots public engagement. And tonight was our delegation to council to present those results. And unfortunately, council again voted against it, and I think that probably ends the project for the foreseeable future, at least until a new council is in and the priorities shift.
Which is curious, we have a municipal election in about a year, October 2026, so they only have a year left in their term, and it sounded like there's some apprehension, because this would turn out to be a big project, studies, consultants, but then also having to tear up the road, put the raised bike lanes. But it looks very similar to, you know, what we've seen in places like Vancouver or Toronto, which have also had, you know, growing pains with bike lanes. What's the main concern right now? Because one of the things that did come up was the congestion. And do you think that this would actually alleviate the traffic, not just cars, but traffic congestion on that part of Third Avenue that is quite busy?
Yeah, I certainly do. Third Avenue is congested because we give priority to motor vehicles, both on-street parking and in the center of the road. And if we were to remove street parking from Third Avenue to free up space for other more vulnerable road users, there would be less traffic on Third Avenue. More people would be going to their destination by bike. And those people that need to get to businesses on Third would be parking in one of the 10 parking lots that are on Third Avenue or parking on an adjacent street. But simply the removal of street parking does decongest the street, and it would improve the safety. And that's why one of the reasons why we felt this was an important project for the community.
Alan, you mentioned one thing about that you have young kids. I have a young kid as well, and obviously going onto the road, you know, in any sort of situation with a bike and a young child, kind of taking your life into your own hands. You know, in this question of safety, what have you seen? One of the counselors brought up near misses that she watches near her home. What have you seen? And it wasn't that they were completely opposed to this project, but seemed more of they mentioned capacity. They talked about other routes, maybe Second Avenue. So where do you see kind of the issue of safety here? And how could that be amended with possibly another route that's not on Third Avenue?
Well, the study that the town canceled initially was going to look at multiple routes through the downtown core, second, third, and fourth. And the motion on the table was for more information to be brought to council, and that was turned down. So unfortunately, I don't see that safety in our downtown core is a top priority to some of the councillors, and I find that to be disappointing. They did reference capacity of staff. However, staff have already invested the time to prepare the RFP for the study. So I don't feel that that is a very valid argument against the project, because staff has already done the work, and the project was grant funded. So it not only was not going to cost the town any money, but the staff had already put the work in. Needless to say, I'm pretty disappointed by the outcome tonight, and we'll keep my eye on what the town decides to prioritize in the future.
What are you going to do next in terms of continuing to bike? Are you going to continue to bike, you know, with your kids on these streets? You know, what's your concern going forward if something more safe for active transportation for cyclists isn't dealt with sooner rather than later?
I'll continue to bike on the streets with my kids for sure. I live behind the hospital, and my kids go to Muheim. We take the Cycle 16 trail to the hardware store, cross at Chandler Park, and go down 3rd that way. But I really did look forward to the vision of safe passage through our downtown. There are people that are on the west side of town that may want to get to Chandler Park Fields or to Muheim, and having safe, separated infrastructure for kids and all people all ages of ability is really important. But it's not going to stop me from biking.
All right. Alan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Despite the council voting to defeat a motion to reinstate a conceptual design and public consultation study for protected bike lanes on 3rd Avenue between Queen Street and King Street, Councillor Genevieve Patterson agreed that more needs to be known about the traffic and cycling safety challenges in the community.
So as you know, once council's voted, I can't necessarily speak sort of outside of whether I agree or disagree. Obviously supports the will of the table, but I would just say, you know, the conversation in my mind isn't necessarily just about 3rd Avenue specifically, even though the delegation was specific to that request. Sorry, you'll hear Casey in the background there. I think the concern really was around the broader assessment. So that money that was available at the time, a number of months ago, was to do an assessment of a protected possibility of a protected lane in the vicinity of downtown. So it wasn't necessarily just 3rd Avenue. And at that time, there was comments that were made from members of council around capacity, staff capacity at that time, which I think is valid in any organization. And I think I would just say that this council has had a lot more conversations through the committees of the whole on strategic priorities in assessing what are those priorities. So those conversations are ongoing.
One thing that you had mentioned during the meeting was where you live, you've witnessed a lot of near misses, and you were kind of talking about, you know, the issue of safety, you know, community safety. What's your thought on that? What are some of the things that you've seen that you'd like, you know, obviously maybe not right now, given the vote from council, but clearly public safety and safety on the roads with bikes and cars is a high priority for you.
Thank you for that question. It's something that I'm so incredibly passionate about. And I remember during the debate in this term, there was a number of individuals who had spoke during the election and at the debate itself around their concerns around traffic safety and expressing similar near misses or actual incidents that they had been involved in. So I'm still advocating for that. And I still think that it's the number one most dangerous thing that we all do every day, but we just come very sort of complicit or normalize it because we're so used to doing it every day. But having always lived sort of either in a downtown core in a big city, or, you know, sort of rurally, it ebbs and flows, right? That level of comfortability that you're willing to take. And I think the reason why now more so than ever that it's highlighted for me is that we're just in a unique situation, and that I would suggest that, you know, we're on the outskirts and that we're rural, But then we have this major primary industry, predominantly industry utilized highway corridor. So what I see living on the corner of Columbia and Queen is giant semi trucks hauling, you know, excessively heavy loads going through intersections on orange and then subsequently red lights. And I think that in that particular example, there's two sets of lights where I observe that happen every single day and not just industry vehicles. But I think the risk is obviously higher given those heavy loads. But it's simple things like the timing of the light. I noticed compared to other lights, it's significantly faster. So I just asked myself, like, how do we even get it on the table to do an assessment of something like that? Another example is bicycle safety. Every single time I've reported a near miss, you know, someone was on their phone or somebody actually hit me and they're like, I'm so sorry. There's nothing I can do when I report it because we don't have, for example, cameras at intersections or, you know, witnesses aren't willing to take their busy time to do something about it. So again, another interesting perspective is, well, how do we apply for that intersection safety program from ICBC? And then the last piece I'll say, Dan, is our cross-section streets are just appalling to me. You know, every single time I do drive down a cross street, I'm waiting for somebody in the middle of the road for them to come because the parking is so congested. There's no space. And then, of course, you've got the cross back alleys where you can't see people when there's cars parked wall to wall on either side and there's oncoming traffic. So for me, I think long term, if I was to think about what the future looks like, I would love to do just an impact assessment through sort of what staff had talked about last night. There's this biannual conference where you meet with all the individuals who are the experts in traffic safety. And we just say, what do we know is working well? What's not? And if the issues that we're talking about aren't being raised there, the question becomes, how do we engage with the community, myself included, and how do we work that group to address these issues? Because it just seems like we talk about it, but we're not finding solutions. So that's kind of where I'm at, and that it's not really about Third Avenue. It's about what are we doing to ensure safety for everybody?
Just the last thing for you, Genevieve, where do we go from here? You know, a lot of the discussion last night, as you mentioned, Third Avenue is not necessarily the end all to be all with, you know, putting raised bike lanes. There was discussion around maybe Second Avenue or finding another route that would go east to west through the downtown core. And it sounded like there was some support for that from other councillors that weren't necessarily supportive of the Third Avenue bike lanes. But at the end of the day, you know, most of these streets do have congestion. That Third Avenue is going to have the library on it in the next year or so, a couple of years. There's obviously going to be a lot more kids going through that corridor to get to stuff like the library. But the congestion is always been an issue. Where do you see this going? Not only, you know, having active transportation and bike lanes, but how do we alleviate some of this congestion, which, you know, typically in a small town is not a problem, but on those corridors that go through downtown, it still is.
I ask myself this question all the time because I don't want to be somebody that just complains. I want to be action focused. So a big part of it, I think, is engaging with the community. I mean, as a town councillor, that's a big part of my role, and asking people what they think the path forward is. Because as you know, anytime there's a delegation, there's usually a number of individuals that want to support sort of next steps. So I think, you know, we don't give up on recognizing that public safety is important to all of us as a community, whether you're a town councillor or not. And then the question becomes, what do we want to do about that? So for example, you know, we're 14 months out to the next election. Maybe the conversation is, you know, we've heard from this particular council that this particular study, you know, isn't a priority at this time. That's okay. I think the question then becomes, maybe we revisit the active transportation plan, for example, and say, what within that do we feel is a priority, and is protecting public safety a priority within that plan? So for example, the next council that comes in, you know, what element to them is important within that active transportation plan? But again, I think at the end of the day, whether it's the municipality or not, because I sort of disagree that it's any one body of government's responsibility, it's all of our responsibility, it's sitting down and saying, well, the municipality has put together this plan for us. You know, we've invested dollars let's sit down and have a conversation and say, what do we as a community think we need to focus on to protect that? And then I think staff last night highlighted, hey, there's this existing forum where experts in public safety meet biannually. So my question is going to be, and we heard staff talk about it last night, hey, I can bring these items forward. I think something that I know I'm personally going to do is just to follow up and say, you know, how can we inform some of those key messages that go in so that the experts know these are some of our concerns? I'm really fact checking that too, because what I don't want to do is say, just because I live at a busy intersection and I observe all these near misses every day, is that just my personal bias? So I want to understand, can we get the data? For example, the municipality also has a community safety well-being group where we have that opportunity to engage with the RCMP. We could ask for a delegation from ICBC and say, can you give us the data on near misses? And then from there, we can provide recommendations to council. So there's always ways in which we can continue to protect people through traffic safety.
Okay, Councillor Patterson, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for your time on this, and we'll be sure to connect as this story continues to develop.
I would love that. Thank you so much, Jen.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.